Coaching. Con Noah Coaching.
Well, hi everybody and welcome to the Con Noah podcast. We've got Alice with us today. How are you doing, Alice?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me, lovely. Really appreciate it.
I am really keen to get into this topic of time management because I think it's something that everybody just wants to do better at. Do you want to kind of give our listeners an overview of kind of who you are and how you got where you are? Because I think that's really important backstory to what we're about to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, thank you for having me and thank you for listening. My name is Alice Dartnell. I'm a life and success coach. I predominantly specialise in time management, but not in your traditional sense. I specialise more as energy management, using that energy management for time management. And this is a topic that I have grown into loving from my own experience, because I've always been a bit of a time management geek, and my passion stemmed kind of way back into like from my early 20s. And I always had this sense of I wanted to maximize my time and make the most of every single minute. And unfortunately, there's a bit of a sad story to that, because I'd suffered really badly with depression and an eating disorder for kind of almost a decade. And when I started to recover, I was like, Jesus, you know, that's a lot of time that I've not shown up as my full self or my full potential. So I became obsessed, and I don't use that word lightly, I became obsessed with time management after that, because I was like, I need to make up for lost time. And also I had this sunny kind of realization how precious life really was. So I didn't want to waste another minute. So I became super productive, really efficient, really effective, read lots of like time management tricks and hacks and all that. So I became like the queen of time management. I you know, planning, prioritization, juggling multiple workloads, all that kind of good stuff. And then in 2019, I burnt out. And I suddenly had this moment of, I'm really great at time management. So why did I burn out? Like, what went wrong? And when I started to recover from that, I realized I'd neglected me and I hadn't looked after me. I hadn't prioritized me. I was a yes person. I couldn't say no. I was a people pleaser, a perfectionist, control freak, you name it. And actually, because of that, I was giving, and I was never refueling the tank. So when I look back at it, it was bloody obvious that I was heading for burnout, but I never saw it into the day to day because I was so good at time management. You know, I was never late. Deadlines were always met. So, you know, someone like me possibly would never, ever like burn out. And then when it did happen, it was like, oh, hang on a minute. It's a bit of a wake up call. And that's what led me to realize that actually it's so much more than time management. It's actually about energy management.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of people that when they go to work, they're kind of just busy and it's just this busyness that happens. And then there's other people that are trying every single thing, different calendars, different ways of how do you schedule things and lists, and everybody's doing something different and they're all trying to kind of maximize their time. I found that you can only do that to an extent, because these productivity tips are only going to get you so far. Because like you say, if you're not going to look after yourself and you can't prioritize, it's like, does anybody schedule luncheon, you know, and does anybody schedule time for themselves? And then it's like, why am I burning out? I mean, I can't say anything because I've done exactly the same kind of stuff and said yes to everything.
Yeah.
So what do you think the basic kind of starting blocks are for somebody to, you know, I'm not sure if you use the term work smarter, but not work harder and not more optimized, but how to kind of work better.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, it always boils down to the energy management. That is not just about time management and like planning in the traditional sense of like, okay, 9 a.m. I'm doing this, 10 a.m. I'm doing that, 11 a.m. And that's typically what we do in traditional time management. We think we need a plan, we need a schedule, we need a productivity app or whatever. But that focus is very much on like efficiency, but it doesn't actually focus on effectiveness. Or is that the thing I should be doing anyway? And there's that saying, like, you know, there's no point climbing a ladder if it's up the wrong wall. So for me, it always goes back down to the energy. And as a starting block for anybody that's like looking to improve this, or perhaps this is a new concept for you, I'd say the first thing that you need is awareness, because unfortunately, everyone's different. So there is no magic pill. I can't say you, this is the way to do it. The first thing is to raise your awareness. And that's by knowing what your energy fillers are and what your drainers are, because we're all going to be different. So what fills me up with energy might actually be a drainer for you. And the problem is, when we have too many energy drainers in our day, in our week, in a month, that's when we're depleting the tank and we're not refilling it. So I'd say my first step for getting off the starting blocks when it comes to improving your energy management and your time management is just create a bit of awareness. And yeah, just think about what fills me with energy, what depletes my energy. And you could even go as far as like creating yourself a bit of an audit, you know, documenting day by day. You know, I did my admin and my accounts and oh my God, I felt knackered afterwards. Or I went for a walk and that really energized me. And then you can kind of start getting a bit of a picture of what's your energy drainers and what your energy fillers. But that would be my starting go-to.
Would it be wrong to kind of schedule in time for yourself? Say if you know, you're working at home and you say, no, 1 o'clock, I want to go for a walk for an hour because I know that'll help me out. Is it wrong to schedule yourself in?
Oh my God, no. If anything, it is a must. Like, I always say to people, typically time management gurus will tell you to schedule the most important things first, like the urgent, the deadlines. I think everyone's probably heard of Brian Tracy and Eat That Frog. And I'm afraid I disagree. It, for me, it's not about prioritizing those most urgent, critical things. It's about prioritizing you first, because you can't fill from an empty cup. So for me, it's okay, prioritize that time for you. They're your non-negotiables. So all those good things like meditation, going for the walk at lunchtime, getting some fresh air, it could even be like a 5 minute just get a cup of tea and breathe, all those things we think we don't have time for, those are the things that have got to go into the diary first. You've got to preserve your energy. So absolutely, I don't think it's wrong at all. I think it's a necessity, especially in this modern day and age where perhaps we're working from home, so those boundaries are blurred, or we're working across. I certainly know now that I'm based in Valencia, I've got a team in Cambodia and Canada, I've got clients in America all the way to the Middle East. Like, I'm on literally every time zone. So we now live in that kind of borderless 24-hour always on culture. So I think it is even more important to schedule in that time for you, rest, recharge, because if you don't make time for it, you'll never find time for it. It doesn't just magically happen. You've got to force it. You've got to make it happen.
One of the interesting things that you said there as well was about auditing. And one of the things that I've kind of, the only way that I've been able to manage my time better as a director is to not only schedule myself in first, so my own working hours, my lunch breaks and everything like that, but also to audit. Because when I did this, I found out that I was doing a huge amount of tasks that were just absolute nonsense. And why was I doing them? And what was I getting from them? And then when I was in, you know, groups and I was giving to groups and doing things voluntarily, why am I doing this? What am I getting from it? And I literally cleared my whole calendar and said, I'm done with this. Why am I doing this stuff? What is the kind of technique that you might use to go about, you know, trying to figure out what it is that you do and what is working for you and what's fruitful and what's just not worth carrying on with?
Yeah, oh my God, I love that share so much. It reminded me actually of one of my ladies who joined my signature time management course, and I forced everyone to do an audit, and everyone obviously was a bit like, oh, I don't want to do that, because nobody wants to like have the mirror held up to them. And one of the ladies sheepishly came back the next week. She was like, I realized I spent 8 hours on my phone and scrolling social media at the weekend. And for her, that was like an absolute jaw dropper. Like, she was like, what the actual? But then that was obviously like horrible for her to like be honest with that. But then once she was, it totally changed everything, because she could then start saying, I do have time for X, Y, and Z if I don't go on my phone for 8 hours at the weekend. So first of all, please, please, it is scary, but definitely audit yourself. But my starting point for this is just make it simple. If you make it difficult, you're not going to do it. If you've got some complex, fancy spreadsheet and some scheduling app and this and the other, and it's complicated for you to go in and log it, you're not going to do it, are you? Just make it easy. It could just be a classic pen and paper and you write it down. So I don't know, it's Monday, you've done team meeting, you've done the admin, you've done accounts, you've done emails, just jot it down how much time, and then at the end of the week review it, you know, how much time you're actually spending on X, Y, and Z. Was it worth it? It's simple as that. I personally am a bit of an Excel geek, so I do actually log. I always kind of audit myself and keep a log of time, and I do it in Excel just purely because it adds it up for me, and I'm dyslexic and dyspraxic, so that's not my full day, so I prefer somebody else to add stuff up. So I personally do it on Excel, but you don't have to, just make it simple. Pen and paper would do. Just make sure you reflect back and really question, is it worth it? Like, am I getting return of investment from that activity? And if I'm not, then maybe I need to do something about it. But on the flip side, also look at the activities you're not doing because you think you don't have time for it. Maybe that's like quality time with family. Maybe that's things like exercise. You think you don't have time for it, but then actually that is a return on investment and you're going to gain something from that. And you probably will have the time for it because you're probably doing things like mindlessly scrolling social media without you realizing. And then we can kind of redirect that time.
I think there's like a bit of a psychological thing there as well, where we try and make ourselves busy and we want the stuff on our CV, but actually you can get to a point where you're saying, but if I give this up, what am I going to do next? And what's going to happen next? And what happens if doors don't open for me? And I think that's the key between what are you doing and is it useful to you? Because if you stop doing the things that are useful, you've actually got time to go and find things that are useful for you. So it's not a case that the next door is not going to open. It's which door do you want to choose when it does open? Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, more will open. And then it's about choosing the kind of the priorities and the activities. And it's not even like you have to do things and then say, I'm going to do them for a year. You could do them for a week or 2 days, couldn't you? And then just say, well, actually, that's not working. I need to do something different with that, or I need to focus on something else.
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely. So I always talk about like this triangle of time management, and one of those components is choice. Because
you're listening to the Kuhnau podcast. If you want to ask a question to our experts, just go to kuhnaucoaching.com and you will find the link to the podcast where you can leave us a voice message or send us an email and we will ask your question direct to the expert. That's kuhnaucoaching.com. Kuhnau Coaching is set up to offer mentoring, coaching and courses in leadership, negotiation and soft skills. If you're interested in finding out more about what Kuhnau Coaching has to offer you, you can get in touch via Facebook, Instagram, you can type Kuhnau into Google, you can email us on kuhnaucoaching@gmail.com or go to our website at kuhnaucoaching.com. That's kuhnaucoaching.com.
Because we often have this negative relationship with time that we say, oh, I don't have time for this, or if only I had more time I would do X, Y, and Z. Whereas actually you got 24 hours every day, use it in the best possible way. And it does come down to exactly what you just said, choice. You know, do I do it? Let's just give it a go for a couple of days a week or whatever, or what am I choosing to do? And sometimes that can be the hardest part, like the psychological mindset, the relationship with time. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to assess, not the bloody planners and productivity apps. Like, that's the hardest thing. It does take a bit of a shift for you to go, do you know what? I'm owning this. I'm choosing to do X, Y, and Z. If it doesn't work out, I'll redirect it. Or we just fill our time because it makes us feel valued or loved or worthy or whatever. So then we become that person that says yes to everything. So yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some psychological elements to time, but for me 100% boils down to choice.
What do you think to these people that are all over YouTube at the minute saying I can work half an hour a day and make £20,000 a month? Because I'm not sure Great. What they're doing.
I definitely come from the camp of work, and you just mentioned it, work smart, not hard. I grew up with that kind of culture of hustle, grind, you know, you've got to work hard, you've got to work long hours. And then we kind of then get into that again, a relationship mindset kind of thing of, in order to be successful, whatever version of success looks like you, in order to be successful, I need to put in a lot of time. And then obviously we've got things like the outliers rule of 10,000 hours to become an expert. There's a balance against that and then taking it to the extreme of doing, I do sweet FA and yeah, I still get all these results. And whether that's learning a language, becoming an expert in a sport or excelling in your career or business or whatever, I do think there is a bit of, there's something going on there. And I'm not saying they're not being truthful, but you know, if you're spending £100,000 a month on algorithms and ads and SEO to make that money to work only half an hour a day, is it worth it? And also, what do you class as work? Because you could be doing a lot of back end behind the scenes stuff and not classing it as work. So I would be a bit dubious about people claiming those things.
There is a level that you can optimize to, and then there's a level that you have to actually do something to have a business. Yes. So I think there's a nice little balance somewhere in the middle where, you know, you're part of your week, your work's part of your week, and you manage to achieve things, and then you've got a business. But I think that, you know, half an hour a week is potentially, I'm not sure how you're managing that one.
Yeah. And also, like, there's a wider question there as well of, like, spending your time on things you love. Like, I definitely have to question myself, like, what is work and what's not, because I love what I do. Like, I love writing content, I love coaching, I love doing things like this, like speaking to you, doing this podcast. This kind of thing fills me up. So is it work, is it not? You know, that's a topic for another day maybe. But if it goes back, I think, to a fundamental question of enjoying what you're doing, whether that's work, play, whatever, the more you enjoy something, the more in flow, the more energized you're going to be. And this is why, for me, again, it's about energy management, not time management. I don't clock the hours that I work. I do it to my energy and what fills me up and what doesn't. And the coaching fills me up. I could do that for hours. Admin accounts, back-end business stuff, not so much. You know, I try and delegate that out as much as possible and outsource to my team. So yeah, it's not about the hours of it. It's just, it ain't for me. It's not an energizer. Like, let's get rid of it. If you're only working half an hour a day, week, or whatever, I mean, good for you, but maybe you should choose something that you love doing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, these podcasts, I'm not doing this for work. I'm doing it because I enjoy, you know, the kind of, because you don't have radio programs anymore, so I kind of do the podcast. Yeah. It's nice to kind of get to know people and see what everyone's doing, and then you learn a lot of handy tips and tricks on things like, you know, how to do time management. And I completely agree with that, you know, the energy thing. When I finish doing this, I feel like I've got a lot of energy, but if I'm doing like accounts, I've got no, like, I'm going to sleep after that. I'm not even, you know, it's so boring. So it's like, it's that one where you have to kind of balance off the tasks that are not that fun with the ones that are, and then that kind of helps your energy levels throughout the day.
Oh my god, I meant that.
Yeah, I'm completely about kind of, you know, if you're doing all this work and then you're tired, take a break. Because I tell you what, it's not nice to end up with stomach ulcers and burnout, because I think there's quite a lot of us been there, and it's easy just to fill your day up and just keep going. It's not sustainable, and then you end up completely crashing out.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, and this is again why I advocate energy management over time management, because energy management is about sustainability. It's about, okay, I want to start a business and grow it, but I want to do it in a sustainable way, or I want to incorporate this into my lifestyle, let's say the gym, for example. And then people go wrong because they're like, right, that's it, I'm on a health kick, I'm going to go to the gym every day for an hour a day. Is that sustainable? I mean, if it is, great, but it probably isn't. And then you wonder why you kind of lose wind after like a week or so. And it's like, yeah, because you're thinking about time, not about your energy. And energy is that, like you say, that sustainability of taking breaks. You know, it's more like an endurance race rather than a sprint, right?
And the results come along with time as well. Once you've kind of got this sustainable pattern going, you can kind of work with yourself, because listening to yourself and understanding what yourself needs to be able to kind of build businesses and do this work is just as important, because your body and your mind are going to tell you what they need and how you need to use them. And if you can continue with that pattern, then you're going to see good results, because you're going to be working in harmony with yourself, but also creating the results from having a streamlined kind of work week where you're doing the things that are productive, that you enjoy, and there's nothing in there that's absolute nonsense that you don't want to be doing, and it's not productive. So when you end up only working 4 hours a day, and you're saying, well, actually, what am I doing? Maybe you've got it down to the 4 hours a day that are actually really productive 4 hours, instead of just 8 hours of just being busy.
Oh my God, yeah. And I think I come from a corporate background, and I definitely worked with people that were being busy for busy's sake. And because we get into that culture of long hours equals success and worthy and titles and promotions. And actually, if you can do the same work and the same quality but in less time, should we not be promoting that and advocating that?
That's the whole thing, isn't it, with the time management, where you're hired to do 8 hours a day, and what you do in that 8 hours a day, you could, you know, go to the gym or just sit there and have a nap. It's like, it's not like at the end of the day you're saying, oh well, I've achieved this and I've achieved that, and you're achieving it for somebody else as well, so it's even kind of less personal. And then if you've worked 40 hours a week, what did you do in those 40 hours a week? Because you've been contracted to be there physically, whereas actually you might have finished that work in 16 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yeah. It's and this is, I think, the danger of looking at time management from a clock perspective.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think there's in fact, actually, maybe that's where that even comes from, you know, the fact that everybody's kind of, a lot of people are employed to be there for a certain set amount of time. And then it's like, well, actually, I should be filling that in the calendar, because I'm used to seeing the calendar. I should be filling that up with things. And if it's not full up, then what am I doing? So, I'm so out of that mindset now, because I can't work like that. Like, my deadlines are my deadlines. I can't, doing 8 hours a day is not going to happen for me anymore, because I can't. The level I'd have to work for 8 hours a day, I wouldn't be able to do it. And just to be busy just frustrates me.
Yeah. And I think I definitely notice a shift in mindset when you see people going from corporate or paid, traditional paid work like that into having your own business, because you're so right. When you're contracted to, let's say, 40 hours a week, you kind of think, oh God, I've got to pad it out, got to look busy. And you're being paid either per hour or your set salary. Then when you've got your own business, actually, you realize there is a limit. You're almost glass ceiling yourself, because if you're only getting paid per hour, you will never grow your business, or you'll never kind of expand. So actually, you then start looking at ways that you can scale, or ways that you can get more efficient. So then it totally reversed. We're not now like plugging 40 hours a week. We're going, how do I get that down? like reversal in attitude. Absolutely.
It's like when you're an entrepreneur, you can do like 100 million hours a week, and it's trying to figure out how to actually get that down to accomplish what you want. Whereas when you're doing the 8 hours a day, it can be I just go browse for 4 hours because there's not much else to do.
And I feel as well that also kind of gives way to this notion that every day and every week is the same, you know, that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, living for the weekend culture. Because unfortunately, again, energy, life isn't exactly the same week in, week out. And what I found with corporate is, you know, some weeks would be really, really busy. We would be doing renewals, launches, deadlines, events, whatever. So that period, that 2 weeks might be like intense, and you might be required to stay late. But then the next 2 weeks, not so much. But nobody's brave enough to clock off early to be like, well, I worked some extra hours last week, so I'm going to recoup some of my energy out. So then they start like filling it out and padding it out, and then they complain about bad life balance and all that kind of stuff. Whereas actually, if we were a bit more free flowing, you know, and that's what you'll find more in your business, is that actually, if you think about it in terms of your energy management, not just the time, oh, I need to do 40 hours a week, but actually I need to achieve X, Y, and Z. And yes, some weeks are going to be more intense than others. That's okay. You can work with that. You know, you can accommodate that with your energy, your sustainability, taking breaks. Maybe you need a longer recovery weekend if you have just had an intense launch or business project or something like that. But yeah, absolutely. I think we completely need to change our culture and our approach to time management in that respect.
Well, talking about time management, we're coming to the end of the episode. So would you like to give us a little overview of where we can find you on the internet, but also importantly, tell us about your book?
Oh yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. Yeah, so I've got an ebook which is called How to Work From Home. I actually started, I wrote this in lockdown, so it was March 2020, but just as the whole world went into like this lockdown working from home. And I'd actually been blessed with working from home for years in my corporate role, so I was really kind of familiar with it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to write this little mini ebook. So it's got about 50 tips in there to help you work from home while staying productive, healthy, and sane. So you can find that on Amazon Kindle. And on the internet, you can find me at my website, alicedartnell.com. And on socials, I'm on LinkedIn, but I predominantly hang out on Instagram. I'm an Instagram girl, I love my visuals. So you can find me there, Alice_Dartnell. And yeah, I would love for people to connect with me. You know, feel free to let me know that you've listened to this podcast, or perhaps you've taken on a tip, or perhaps you've even got a question. I'd be more than happy to answer. So yeah, feel free to get in touch.
And we'll tag all this down below so you can click straight through to all the amazing services that Alice offers. It has been a lovely conversation, Alice. Thanks so much for being on the episode.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's been so good to talk to you and I really appreciate it. It's been great.
You've been watching on YouTube or listening on an audio platform to the Kuno podcast. If you like what you're hearing, then don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any amazing content. And don't forget to leave us a review. Kuno Coaching.